الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome back to TV's of Madani channel to another fantastic episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal. And yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, it is the blessed day of Yawmul Jumu'ah, Sayyid al-Ayyam, the day of Eid. And subhanAllah, we should spend this day doing abundance of good that will lead us towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also sending a lot of salawat upon the beloved Habib, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, alhamdulillah, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, and that is regarding the key to success. We all want success in life, but we got to know how to get success. And by that I mean striving. Yes, making efforts. Striving is the key to success. This is what we are going to be discussing today, inshallah. And we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of qiyamah. So let us all collectively send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since this is the beautiful day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, you know, when we listen to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is also a form of dhikr, of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us all moisten our tongues by reciting a beautiful naat in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheher Nabi teri galiyon ka naqsha hi kuch aisa hai khuld bhi hai mushtaq ziyarat jalwa hi kuch aisa hai dil ko sukoon de ठंडक रोजा ही कुछ ऐसा है दिल को सुकून दे आँख को ठंडक रोजा ही कुछ ऐसा है फर्श जमी पर अर्श भरी हो लगता ही कुछ ऐसा है फर्श जमीन पर अर्श भरी हो लगता ही कुछ ऐसा है रब के सिवा देखा ना किसी ने फर्शी हो या अर्शी हो रब के सिवा देखा ना किसी ने फर्शी हो या अर्शी हो उनके हकीकत के चेहरे पर पर्दा ही कुछ ऐसा है उनके हकीकत کے چہرے پر پردہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، اور تاج کو اپنے پاسا بنا کر حاضر ہے شاہان جہاں، تاج کو اپنے قاسا بنا کر حاضر ہے شاہان جہاں، ان کی عطا ہی کچھ ایسی ہے، صدقہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، ان کی عطا ہی کچھ ایسی ہے، صدقہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، اور غم ہے یہاں جو سکندر، اس میں کیا ہے رانی ہے، غم ہے یہاں جو سکندر، اس میں کیا ہے رانی ہے، ان کے غلاموں کا اختر رتبہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، ان کے غلاموں کا اختر رتبہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، شیر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، خلد بھی ہے مشتاق زیارت، جلوہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے، صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Indeed, the praises of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, it increases our love for him صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. It rejuvenates our hearts, minds, bodies and soul, and it strengthens our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Habib Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Alhamdulillah. So we shall continue reciting the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continue sending salawat upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, we are discussing the key to success. And as I've mentioned, we are going to be talking about making efforts, about striving. Striving is the key to success. Now, to give you an example, it's said that a king had attacked an area more than 6 times in order to conquer it, but he remained unsuccessful. When his last attempt was also unsuccessful, he became tired, he lost hope, he lay down in the room with the intention to rest. And whilst thinking about his many unsuccessful attempts, suddenly his eyesight fell upon an ant. And this ant is trying to climb the wall in the room, which had no intention of giving up, despite falling constantly. Now, many times the ant, it would reach very close to the top of the wall, but it would fall down. The ant would then get up again, try to climb the wall. And eventually, after many attempts, the ant became successful in its mission. Now, seeing the struggle of the ant, the king, he became motivated. He fought off his despair. He strived again with a new passion and enthusiasm to attack that area, and he became successful in his mission. So this parable gives us, Madani Shano, we learn something from it. That continuous striving and effort does eventually produce a result. Now, we are able to learn many things from the action of an ant in trying to achieve its mission. No matter how far or how difficult the destination is, an ant goes towards its purpose with so much of courage, and only rests when it manages to attain success. Likewise, a few small ants work together to pick up big grains and take it inside their burrows, inside their hole. Now, this is also the result of the continuous strive and struggle. So we should also learn a lesson from these ends, deeds of Madani Channel, and make it a part of our life to continuously strive. These ends is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they continuously are striving. So we are human beings, the best of creation. We should be the ones to be striving more than these ends. So through continuous striving, difficult tasks are able to be completed, whereas without striving, even easy tasks, they seem difficult to do. Now remember, we must strive to carry out those acts that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will benefit us in this world and in the hereafter. And this is a cause of prominence for the religion of Islam that will help us fulfill our purpose of coming to this world. That will benefit our country, that will benefit our community, our society, that will benefit creation, and which are not a means of causing pain unjustly to anyone. Allah ta'ala, you know, has given glad tidings of success to those who strive in His way. It is mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah An-Kabut, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who struggled in our way, we shall definitely show them our paths. Now, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it's mentioned under the commentary of this ayah that those who strive to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala, they will definitely be shown the path of reward. Those who strive to repent, they will definitely be shown the pathways to sincerity. Those who strive to learn Islamic knowledge, they will definitely be shown the pathways to action. And those who strive to establish the Sunnah, they will be shown the pathway to paradise. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we learn from this ayah, from this verse and its tafsir, that whoever does good actions, he will be rewarded with goodness for them. And we hope that through the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, whoever strives to be obedient to their parents, he will be successful in this life and in the hereafter. Whoever strives to feed Muslims, the stages of the hereafter will continue to become easy for him. Whoever continues to strive in giving charity, he will have blessings in his wealth. Whoever strives to repent from his sins, he will be blessed with sincerity. The student who strives to gain Islamic knowledge, he will gain success in his actions. Whoever strives to act upon the Sunnah and spreads the Sunnah, he will be eligible for a blessing like Jannah. Now, our fundamental purpose should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will succeed in this world and in the hereafter. And remember, gaining the pleasure of Allah ta'ala is above all things, right? Allah ta'ala, who grants success to people after their striving, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. And the greatest bounty is the pleasure of Allah. To attain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, we should gain compulsory Islamic knowledge and worship Allah Ta'ala in accordance to it, because worship is only accepted when it is performed in the correct manner, as specified by the Sharia. Remember, worshipping Allah Ta'ala after gaining Islamic knowledge is one way of escaping the grasp of shaitan. Right? It's a way of gaining the pleasure of Allah. It's a remedy to gain cure for the disease of sins. It's a way of reforming the internal and external. It's a means of freshening up the soul. Worshipping Allah Ta'ala after gaining Islamic knowledge can bring a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. And this is the very reason why our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, they would remain busy in worshipping Allah Ta'ala according to the demands of knowledge and rulings of Sharia. And they would strive to perform optional deeds in abundance, alongside acting upon the fara'id and the wajibat. Like we see, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah, he consistently offered Fajr Salah for 40 years with the wudu of Salatul Isha. He completed the recitation of the entire Qur'an every night for 15 years. And he would offer 1,000 raka'at of nafil salah every single day. Sufyan Thawri, when Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri rahimahullah passed away, someone saw him in his dream and asked, Ma fa'ala Allahu bik? How did Allah Ta'ala treat you? He said, I saw my merciful creator. And he said to me, O Ibn Sa'id, congratulations to you. I am pleased with you because when night would fall, you would worship me with tears and softness in your heart. Paradise is in front of you. Take whichever palace you like and you continue to behold me because I am not far from you. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We have heard even of Madani channel how our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, would strive to attain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it was day, whether it was night, they would only have one aim, one mission in their life, and that was to please Allah Ta'ala. When these blessed people worship Allah Ta'ala in such a manner that has been prescribed, then Allah Ta'ala grants them the gratifications of His pleasure. But in the current era, we strive to go ahead of one another in worldly matters. For example, we wish to make a beautiful house when we see that someone else has got a beautiful house. We wish to wear expensive clothes when we see someone else wearing such clothes. We wish to buy a new car or have a successful business upon seeing someone else with a new car or a successful business. The growing influence of the worldly wealth and money is increasing day by day to such an extent that we strive for these things day in, day out, night, and go through so much of difficulties, but do not get tired at all. Have we ever developed the passion to perform good deeds after seeing someone else performing good deeds? Have you ever had the mindset to offer all five salah with jama'ah in the first row of the masjid after seeing someone else go towards the masjid? Have you ever developed the passion to act upon the sunnah after seeing someone else with a miswak, be it and wearing the imam al-sharif? Have we ever strived to do dars, attend the weekly ijtima'at of Dawud Islami? Have we ever adopted this mindset? That's something that you and I have to ask ourselves. Because in worldly matters, we're so quick to do that. But matters related to our deen, to our hereafter, we procrastinate, we hold back, and we just let it go. You know, Sayyidina Habib Najjar, rahimahullah, he would worship throughout the night, fast during the day, give away whatever food would be presented to him for iftar, and would himself worship all night in the state of hunger. When it would be close to morning, he would make this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and humbleness. That he would say, I remain drowned in the oceans. I remain drowned in the oceans of negligence and lust in sins. Oh Allah, this disgraceful, sinful and ill servant of yours is present at the door of your generosity and is asking you for protection. Allahu Akbar. I mean, look at their passion. They will make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and humbleness for the acceptance of their worship. So we should also strive to worship in abundance, to gain the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. We need to strive to illuminate our grave so that we could be safe from the heat of the day of Qiyamah, so that our scale of good deeds could be heavier, so that we could cross the bridge of Sirat, so that we could attain high ranks in Jannatul Firdaus. Remember, Ibn of Madani Shannon, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and I for His worship. Now, in order to succeed in this mission, we have been sent into this world for a short period of time. And during this time, we need to prepare ourselves for the grave and for the hereafter. So, intelligent is that person who values the short time period and remains busy in preparing himself for the grave and the hereafter and does not even waste 1 second in unnecessary activities, because no one knows whether they will live for another second, for another moment, or whether death will make him enter a state of deep sleep forever. So we need to think, Ibn of Madani channel, of what we are doing. Are we striving to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as of now, Ibn of Madani channel, we do have a beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us go forward and listen to this kalam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much more, inshallah. And I'm sure by listening to this kalam, it is going to most definitely rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies, and soul in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to the kalam. And thereafter, we are going to be back to discuss much more, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love.
ہو جائے شمٹتے فاس نہ یہ چند گام ہو جائے اور مزہ تو جب سبیح مد حت خیر الانام ہو جائے سبیح مد حت خیر
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ, بیوٹیفل کلام ان دی پریزز آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. یا اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی گرانٹ اس آل دی کمپلیٹ لو آف ہز بیفور ہز بیوٹیفل حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the key to success, and by that we have now understood that striving is the key to success. It is of the channel, it's very important to continue performing good actions, you know, with consistency. Why? So that we could be successful in this life and in the hereafter. And you know, alongside important knowledge and actions, fulfilling rises holds much importance as well. Our parents are most deserving of good conduct from us. Striving to be obedient to our parents, it could also be a means of attaining success in this life and in the hereafter. Right? History is witness to the fact that those people who strive to be obedient to their parents, Allah Ta'ala granted them such a status and rank that some of them became the best of the tabi'een. Some became the leader of the awliya Allah, rahimahumullah. Some became the revival of the time, and some were granted the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And the love of these pious people will remain in the hearts of others until the day of Qiyamah. For example, look at Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah. He says that during a very cold night, my mother asked me to bring water. So I came with a glass of water, but saw that my mother, she had fallen off to sleep. And I did not feel it appropriate to wake her up. So I stood next to her with the glass of water in my hand, with this in mind that when she wakes up, I will present the water to her. So I stood for quite a while. Meanwhile, some water spilled over my finger and it froze, turning into ice because of how cold it was that night. When my mother woke up, I presented her the glass of water, and due to the ice, as soon as my finger detached from the glass, some skin peeled off and blood began to flow. And seeing this, my mother asked that, "What is this?" And I told her the whole story. And hearing this, my mother, she raised her hands She made dua. She said, oh Allah, I am pleased with him. You also be pleased with him. Subhanallah. And today, the whole world knows of Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami, rahimahullah, became a very great friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's another incident when Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah, was traveling with a caravan from Jinan to Baghdad to seek Islamic knowledge. As they passed Hamdan, 60 robbers attacked and robbed the entire caravan. And Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, he says that no one asked me for anything. One robber then approached me and asked that, oh boy, do you also have something? He said, yes. The robber asked him, what do you have? He said that I have 40 dinars. He then asked that, okay, where is it? Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, he said that it's inside my clothes, sewn inside my clothes. The robber thought this was a joke and he walked away. And after this, another robber approached Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, and asked the same question. And he gave the same answer. Now, that robber also walked away thinking of it as a joke. When all the robbers got together with their leader and told their leader about Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, they called him over. And they were busy distributing the wealth. The leader of the robbers asked him, what have you got? Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, said that I got 40 dinars. He then said to the robbers that search him. And after searching Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, when the truth became apparent, he asked Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, that what made you tell the truth? And he said, it's my mother's advice. The leader then asked, what was the advice? Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, he said that my mother taught me to always tell the truth. And I promised her that I would always speak the truth. And when he heard this, the leader of the robbers started to cry. And he said that this child did not break the promise he made with his mother. And on the other hand, I have been breaking the promises I made with my merciful Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my entire life. And immediately he repented alongside his companions and gave back the wealth they had robbed. Subhanallah, we have heard Ibn of Madinah that Ghawth-e Pak, that when Ghawth-e Pak rahimahullah acted upon his mother's advice, Allah ta'ala granted the robbers who had been robbing people their entire life the ability to repent. Now there are many foolish people out there who cause difficulties to their mother and to their father due to being away from Islamic knowledge. They fight with their parents over anything and everything. Instead of keeping their parents happy, they follow their own whims and fancies and put their parents one side, put their parents in jeopardy. They force their parents to get to do what they desire, regardless of whether it is in a permissible or impermissible manner. For example, a child may say, I want to get married to so-and-so. What do my parents know? My choice is my choice. What I know, my parents don't know. Or another example, my friend has an expensive phone, whereas I have a simple phone. Do I not have the right to live in society? Another example, we see my friends from school and from university, they travel to so many places, you know, amusement places and sightseeing and enjoyment. They go out and about freely. But my parents do not have sympathy for me. Even I have emotions. Should I remain, you know, jailed up in the four corners of my home for my entire life? These are some of the examples that we see in today's time, Leaders of Madinah Channel. Now, did our pious predecessors, rahimahullah, not serve their parents? Did the Ghawth-e Pak, rahimahullah, not sacrifice his 40 dinars in return for obeying his mother? Did Bayezid Bustami, rahimahullah, not hold a glass of water in his hand all night in anticipation for his mother to wake up? They did all of this. Why? Because they knew the importance of serving their parents, Yusuf of Mother Nation. They knew the importance of loving, respecting, and obeying their parents. We see also about a student whose books, you know, are taught in Dars-e-Nizami. You know, for those who did Dars-e-Nizami, they would come to know of his books. That he was the most unintelligent student in the study circle of Qadi Abdul Rahman Shirazi Rahmullah. Rather, his example would be given when referring to a dull person. But despite this, he never lost his determination. Rather, he paid attention to what everyone said. Right? He never paid attention to what everyone said. And he would always remain busy in striving to read and learn his sabak and learn his lessons. So once, whilst he was learning his lesson, a stranger approached him and says, come, let's go sightseeing. He said, I have not been created for sightseeing. My situation is such that even after studying, I'm still unable to understand anything. So how can I go for sightseeing? Hearing this, the stranger left, but then came back again after a while and asked him again to come for sightseeing. And he again replied with the same answer. The stranger left the second time, but then came back again. And this time said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remembering you. And when he heard this, his body began to tremble, and barefooted, he ran to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he reached a place outside the city where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under the shade of a thick tree. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw, smilingly said, that you did not come, even though I called many times. And he replied with a humble tone. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I did not know that you were calling. You know the state of my weak memory. I seek in your court a cure for my illness. And hearing this request, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mercy began to flow, and he said to him, open your mouth. He opened his mouth, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his best saliva into his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then prayed for him, gave him the glad tidings of success, and ordered him to go back home. The next day, when he attended the class of Qadi Abdul Rahman Shirazi rahimullah, he asked some knowledgeable questions during the lesson. The other students in the class were unable to fully grasp the questions, so they deemed them unnecessary and useless and did not pay attention to it. But his teacher, who was a master in the field of knowledge, began to cry upon hearing his knowledgeable conversation and said to him, Oh Sa'ad, today you are not the same person as yesterday. Sayyidina Staftazani rahimahullah then narrated the whole event in the court of his teacher. Subhanallah, in the story of the Fadhil channel, where we found out how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mercy, grace and bounty was bestowed and how this request was granted. And we also learned many other points. For example, striving consistently to gain knowledge of deen always does produce a result. Just like Alama Sa'iduddin's rahimahullah striving and steadfastness made him successful, he went on to become a very giant scholar of his time, and he wrote many books. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So striving to gain knowledge of deen is such a good deed that will help a person climb the ladder of success. Along with making one, you know, successful in the field of knowledge, striving to gain knowledge is a means of success in this life and the hereafter, because it is knowledge that allows a person to differentiate between halal and haram things. To gain further knowledge is compulsory and a means of attaining the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Gaining knowledge is a way of knowing the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Knowledge is the inheritance of the Prophet alayhi wasallatu wasalam. The excellence of humans over others is made apparent due to knowledge. Knowledge is noor, knowledge is light, knowledge gets rid of ignorance. Knowledge is a means of recognizing the rights of people and, you know, endless disputes. It's a way of attaining the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of the path of the people of Jannah. Knowledge is a means of peace at the time of fear. You know, it is a guide during poverty and prosperity. It's a weapon against enemies. It is beauty near friends. And through knowledge, Allah Ta'ala grants communities status and makes them leaders with regards to matters relating to goodness. Knowledge is the life of the heart in comparison to ignorance. It is the light of the eye in comparison to darkness. Knowledge is such a light that even if an unintelligent person strives to acquire it, he too traverses the stages of success. So we too, dear of Mother Nature, we should strive to seek knowledge of deen. But as of now, alhamdulillah, we do have a beautiful piece of advice, a beautiful piece of nasiha. Then let's go forward and listen to it, and thereafter we will be back to continue with our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Last and final prophet and messenger, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, within a narration has mentioned, la yadkhul jannata man kana fi qalbihi mithqalu dharratin min kibr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'alihi wa ala alihi wasallam has stated that a person will not enter paradise if there is even the weight of an atom's amount of arrogance within that person's heart. Arrogance, kibr, is not about clothes, it's not about status, it's not success even. It is an attitude of superiority before the people. Among us, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes a man, he, you know, يُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا. He wishes that his clothes be good. وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا, that his shoes be nice, his footwear is nice. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this arrogance too? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam replies, says, لا, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيل يُحِبُّ الْجَمَال. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he taught us, what is kibr? Kibr is بَطَرُ الْحَقُ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. Arrogance is rejecting the truth, and it is looking down at others. That's what arrogance is. Arrogance destroys not only hearts, breaks relationships, but it destroys the barakah within a person's life. Arrogance is the act of the shaitan. Arrogance is what destroyed someone who was the teachers of the angels of the Sama'u Dunya. Humility, on the other hand, is from the noble characteristics of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humility, on the other hand, is what raises a person. Allahu Akbar. A believer is never too proud. Even if he makes a mistake, he can apologize. He's not too proud or too arrogant to apologize. If somebody has harmed him, to forgive. He's not too proud to show respect to everyone. Yes, everyone. And if he was lower your wing, be humble. By lowering yourself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you. Don't be arrogant. Be humble. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful piece of advice, inshallah. We should act upon this and also spread it to others as well, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the key to success. And by that, we have understood that we are talking about striving. Striving is the key to success. Together with striving, the use of Madani Shunan, there is another key as well, which I want to highlight to you, and that is istiqama, steadfastness. Steadfastness is also the key to success. So you have striving and you got steadfastness. These two combined, subhanAllah, will make a person reach great heights, will make a person reach success. When you strive and when you have istiqama upon that striving. Now, there are virtues for istiqama, for having steadfastness, if it's of Madani Shunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the error after yours will be the error of patience. Whoever remains steadfast on the religion in that error will be given its reward equal to 50 martyrs amongst you. Allah. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that I requested in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me something comprehensive about the religion so that I will never have to ask someone else about it again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Meaning, say, I believe in Allah and then remain steadfast on this. Subhanallah. So we see iman and steadfastness are two interpretations of one reality, because iman is the claim and steadfastness upon it is the proof. Iman is the affirmation of the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and steadfastness upon it makes this affirmation apparent. Iman is the name of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and steadfastness is its real interpretation. Iman is the grandeur of a believer, and steadfastness is the honor of a believer. Now, one may ask, what is the definition of istiqamah? What is the definition of steadfastness? And Allama Sharif Jurjani rahimahullah says that carrying out good deeds while refraining from sins is called istiqamah. It's called steadfastness. Now, of course, After listening to the definition of steadfastness and its importance, we too feel in our hearts the desire to become steadfast, because steadfastness is such a level by means of which one attains success. Now, keeping in mind that according to the definition that we have mentioned, it's necessary to have knowledge regarding inner and outer sins and strive in refraining from these sins. First, it's important to have knowledge of these sins and adopt the company of those who will help you abstain from committing these sins and carry out good deeds. Any task lacking istiqama can never be accomplished. Istiqama is an excellent means of attaining good deeds, steadfastness. Whoever is not steadfast in his tasks wastes his efforts and does not find the results of the task that he was hoping for. Now, there is a famous saying, al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama, meaning steadfastness is greater than a karama, than a saintly miracle. Meaning being steadfast is greater than performing a saintly miracle. Right? Adopt steadfastness and do not seek saintly miracles, because your nafs seeks saintly miracles, whereas your Rabb wants you to be steadfast. Now, many people are seen complaining that we start a task, but we can't be steadfast on it. For example, someone wants to become steadfast on offering his daily salah, but after a few days, he becomes lazy. Similarly, someone wants to become regular in reciting the Holy Quran, but is unable to do so. Now, there are some methods, some ways of attaining steadfastness. Number one, right, it's necessary to have an honest intention, solid determination at the beginning. When the intention of istiqamah is firm, and one strives for it as well, then inshallah, one will be successful in attaining this wealth of istiqamah. The second is that we can gain steadfastness by making dua to Allah Ta'ala. So, make dua in the call of Allah Ta'ala with humility, that Allah grant me steadfastness upon good deeds by your mercy. Remember, dua has been declared the weapon of a believer in the hadith. So use this weapon and beg for steadfastness again and again from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas. Third method is that you must firstly perform those acts which have been made compulsory by sharia, meaning acting upon the fard, the wajibs, and the muqaddah. For this, one must also seek the knowledge of fard, wajib, and sunnah muqaddah, and strive against the nafs towards performing good deeds. And one should also become connected with a sincere, kamil shaykh, so that with his blessings, one can become steadfast upon good deeds. Remember that whichever act has become fard and wajib on a person, is compulsory for him to become steadfast in carrying out those acts. The fourth way, in order to gain istiqamah upon anything, it's necessary not to rush towards it in the beginning. Don't rush, don't hasten towards it in the beginning. Adopt balance. Then over time, increase the amount you do. This is because a hasty person loses courage very quickly, because of which he cannot become steadfast upon anything. So, if you want to become steadfast, you must adopt balance. Understand it like this. If you want to become steadfast in reciting the Holy Quran, then you should begin by reciting half a ruku. Once you have gained istiqamah upon this, you should increase it by another half ruku onto your recitation. And continue like this, soon it will become your habit to recite the Holy Quran. A similar approach can also be taken in order to gain istiqamah in other tasks and activities. Right? Now keep in mind, this method can only be adopted for voluntary acts of worship. As for fard and wajib acts, they must be offered with istiqamah as soon as the conditions are found. For example, as soon as salah becomes fard upon someone, it's necessary for him to gain steadfastness on offering it immediately. Not by starting off by offering one or two salah and then gradually build up to five. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us istiqamah on all good deeds. Right? The fifth way is by reading the stories, incidents, parables of steadfastness upon good deeds that the pious predecessors, rahimahullah, had. Now we observe that despite facing multitude of difficulties and hardships, the ashab and the pious predecessors, rahimahullah, remained firm upon iman. Right? These blessed personalities, they faced many hardships because of accepting Islam. Sometimes their bodies would be lashed. Sometimes they would be kept hungry for days on end. Sometimes they would be made to lie down in the boiling desert, and rocks would be placed on their backs. Sometimes they would be shackled in chains. Sometimes they would be dragged by a rope around their neck. Sometimes they would be kicked and stamped on. Sometimes they would be hanged. Sometimes they would be thrown into boiling oil. But despite all of this, these pious people of Allah remain firm upon Iman. Like one Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his sight fell on the back of Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He saw that the entire back was covered with white scars from wounds. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu inquired, "O Khabbab, what are these scars on your back?" Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Now what do you know about these scars? These are from the days when you would walk around with a naked sword looking to martyr Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By that time, the flame of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lit inside me and I had accepted Islam. The kuffar, the disbelievers made me lie down on burning coals of fire. So much fat melted off my back that it extinguished the burning coals and I remained unconscious for hours. But by Allah, as soon as I regained consciousness, the first words on my tongue were the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied and he was crying. He said, "O Khabbab, lift your shirt so that I may see your back. How blessed and honorable this back of yours is that it was burnt due to the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Allahu Akbar. Just think, Nabi of Madinah channel, how many sacrifices the honorable Ashab alayhi Ridwan gave for the elevation of Islam. They endured different kinds of hardship, tortures, but still remain patient and steadfast. So instead of wasting time in lying around idly, useless speech, making excuses, we should practically follow the footsteps of these pious people of Allah. That is what we should do, dear of Mother Nature. You know, we need to ponder over this and try to become steadfast in attaining istiqamah, in carrying out good deeds. Remember, history is witness to the fact that those who strive to attain steadfastness on good deeds, Allah Ta'ala blessed them with such maqam and status that some became mufassirun of the Holy Quran, some became muhaddith, some became propagators of the deen, some became great teachers, some became inspiration for others to become practicing, some became leaders of their times, and some others became muftis of Islam due to the blessings of steadfastness upon the deen. Like Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu had such istiqamah upon reciting the Holy Quran that he would recite the entire Quran in one rak'ah. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he had such steadfastness upon talkingness that he never even backbited his enemies. Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahimahullah had istiqamah upon performing good deeds, as I've mentioned, that he offered Fajr with the wudu of Isha Salah for 40 years. And when his wudu became nullified, he would immediately perform wudu again and offer 2 raka'at Nafil Salah. You see, Sayyidina Aswad bin Yazid rahimahullah would offer 1,000 raka'at of Nafil Salah daily. If he could no longer stand, he would offer Salah while sitting. You see, Sayyidina Abu Qilaba and Sayyidina Abdul Malik al-Qashi rahimahullah would offer 400 Salah daily. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr bin Muhammad Ansari rahimahullah did not lie in bed at night for 40 years. And he would offer Nafil Salah all night, and his prostrations were so long that he had clear marks on his nose and a forehead. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And we see also when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha being tortured in the boiling desert of Makkah al-Mukarramah alongside her son Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and her husband Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Sabaran ya ala Yasir," meaning, "Be patient, O family of Yasir." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, "Mu'idukumul Jannah," you have been promised Jannah. Now what pain was it that the people of Makkah, especially the enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, did not cause to them? Now just take an idea from this, that they were forced to wear metal armor and stand out in the heat of the sun. Now what would be the state of Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha in the heat of Arabia and the clothes of burning metal? Allahu Akbar. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had settled in her heart so much, despite facing so many difficulties, she did not leave Islam. And she was the first fortunate female martyr of Islam. She stood firm, face these difficulties, these difficult circumstances. And we have a lot to learn from the patience and istiqamah of Sayyida Sumayya radiyallahu ta'ala anha. We make this dua in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah ta'ala grant us steadfastness upon the deen for her sake. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.